folks that are legally blind have a better experience, not only using public transportation, but once they get where they want to go, having greater success in accomplishing whatever it is, like going to the grocery store is an example, just one example. So that's something that we've been working with them on for a while, and we're finally at the point where they did secure grant funding. That grant goes for about a year and a half to see how it works. So we're going to be sending something out in the not too distant future so that folks will know how to sign up for it. They're, by signing up for it, they're going to agree that they're going to participate in the research project, which probably means there'll be some surveys that they'd be completing to talk about their experiences. But it's a significant step forward to be able to make it so widely available at no cost to the consumer.
Okay, Brian, now is this in hopes that long term the results would show that IRA should continue to be provided free of charge for BSBY clients?
That's certainly the goal. Would be to demonstrate that IRA has really made a significant difference. And I think once that's done, then the greater likelihood that there's a successful argument that can be made for continuing it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, hearing nothing else, Andrew, by all means, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you, Brian. I did want to go over the budget. Well, I've been invited to go over the budget with you. Just to remind people that, of course, the Department of Aging and Disability Services, of which BSBY is part, is significantly funded by the federal government. You all know that. But it's about 70% federal and 30% state. And actually, right now, looking ahead to the next 2 years, the legislature just passed a couple weeks ago a budget for 2 years, starting this July 1st. And so this upcoming fiscal year is 2021-2022. For short, people call it fiscal 22. And so fiscal 22 and 23, those 2 years are just passed. And the budget for all of aging and disability is about $103 million, 104 almost, and $30 million comes from the state and $70 comes from the feds. It doesn't quite add up, but I don't want to go down to the penny when I give you some of these numbers. The budget for our agency is pretty stable. It inches up to account for some increases. For example, the legislature, in trying to recognize a higher minimum wage, is giving agencies like ours a little bit more money to pay the contractors who work for us that higher minimum wage for their employees. That would actually occur most significantly in our agency for people who contract to provide Meals on Wheels. That's the biggest part of our agency where there are people making less than the new minimum wage as it goes up to $15. So a little bit of money was added for that, a little bit of money for pay raises when they do happen. I'll say that the grant to Chris Radio, some of you may use, remains at $70,000, which is what it's been for the last few years, but it was in the low 20s. A couple of years ago, the legislature raised that. Independent living centers got even more money than last year. A part of that money, I think, will be used to help people who are, so they can add more services to people who are deaf, more access to people who are deaf for independent living services. The legislature also, in addition to passing a budget, as you may all hear from the news, passes implementing legislation or an implementer bill. And in that bill, something we weren't aware of, really, was that they added $2 million to increase support services for people who are deaf and also for people who are blind. And we don't know now, and we're looking into it, exactly what their expectations were for how we spend that money. And we've talked a little bit with the governor's budget office, also called the Office of Policy and Management, or OPM. We don't know yet exactly what that extra $2 million is for. I don't know that it's permanent. It comes from all the Washington COVID money, ARPA and other names for it, but there's a lot of, as you know, COVID money going to the states and going to the towns, and they set aside $2 million of that for deaf and blind services. And just to be clear, I'm not saying deaf-blind, I'm saying deaf and I'm saying blind. So that's the budget, about $31 million in state funding for a total of about $104 million when you throw in the federal dollars. The VR money stays pretty stable, and the deaf-blind grant stays pretty stable at about $240,000. So that's the budget review. And just cheating now in my notes, and a few bills have passed. One, ADS, Aging and Disability Services, put in a bill to make a few corrections in our statutes. One area that I may have discussed with you before is when there was BSBY, the law said people could make donations to BSBY. For example, Brian referred to Julie McLean. When she passed away, she made a nice gift to BSBY, a very handsome gift to BSBY. That's allowed in law. Why wouldn't you allow it? But there was also allowing the Commission of the Deaf to accept donations, BRS. So we had three laws allowing us to accept donations. We consolidated that into one law. It's rather technical, but it cleaned up the statutes. We also did some fine-tuning of the appointment process to the relatively new advisory board for persons who are deaf and hard of hearing. Also, that board's name will now say deaf-blind, as well as deaf, hard of hearing. And we made some changes to our assistive technology lending program. And that's a program available to people who need assistive technology, may not have all the money they need, and they can borrow through our program at a lower rate. And so those are some of the changes we made there. Also a bill was passed called an Act Concerning a Workforce Development Pipeline for Persons with Disabilities. Now this bill, which passed both chambers, it will be law when the governor signs it, I expect he will, would have the Department of Economic and Community Development develop a plan to establish a workforce development pipeline for people with disabilities, and make recommendations to the legislature if that's needed. And our agency has already begun collaborating. I know Brian has, and Director Dave Dokis from BRS have already had conversations with the Office of Workforce Strategy at DECD, the Department of Economic and Community Development, to talk about sharing our knowledge and our expertise in the area of disability employment. And a couple of other bills were created to study senior citizen issues, one about senior fraud, and our agency will have a member in that board. A bill was passed to create an explicit mental health bill of rights for people who are deaf and hard of hearing, to make it clear that access to mental health care should be truly accessible for people who are deaf. And I'm just cheating here and looking at some of my other bills here. And then the long-term care ombudsman is part of our agency, the person who goes to bat for people in nursing homes, and a number of laws were passed. There was a lot of focus on nursing home care this year because of the pandemic. There's always some attention paid to the issue, but some of the changes made was to say that people living in a nursing home must have access, if they so choose, to technology to allow them to have virtual visits with people outside the home. Of course, that's especially important during the pandemic when people couldn't come in the building, but it's also would be useful if you wanted to visit with a grandchild in Denver. They may not come by the nursing home too often, but with that technology you could make a visit. And also to allow people to put in monitoring technology, in essence like a camera in your room, so that you could, especially in the case of a non-verbal nursing home patient or resident, might not be treated well, and maybe no one's going to know. And a camera in the room. Now, you have to be mindful of the privacy of another person if it's a shared room. But that's an area that's growing with, of course, the growing ease of these sorts of technologies. And I'm just cheating and looking at my notes again. I'm shooting it for a second while I pause. And then I guess the last bill I'll mention is, well, the second to last, is that they're going to allow an essential support person, that's the title, an essential support person to be designated for a person who's living in a nursing home. And so that person could really have a point on advocating for the nursing home resident. Obviously, it could be a spouse or a child, most likely, but could be anyone. And that person may have extra ability to visit in a lockdown, in a public health crisis such as we've had. A lot of people said, you know, there's got to be someone who could pay extra attention to that resident, be allowed to, in the case of a lockdown like we have with COVID. The other bill I'll mention, and I'm just checking to make sure I didn't leave out anything really key. Another bill was passed to say, I lied when I said there was just one left. I really lied. Another bill was passed to say that when you're filling out an employment application, the employer can't ask for your age or even ask for when you graduated from high school or college, where they kind of tell your age, because of age discrimination. And we testified in favor of that bill. Commissioner Porter testified in favor of that bill because any kind of additional discrimination could negatively affect our clientele, who already may suffer from the prejudices of employers. A bill which didn't pass was a bill on guide dogs, which was going to change the term in Connecticut law from guide dog to service animal and define it just as it's defined in federal law, which is a dog, but serving a person with a disability, a dog that has training to serve a person with a disability. As you know, sometimes there's an ongoing tension between service animals and emotional support animals. And there are people who say, listen, we really want to accord accessibility for all service animals, but maybe not for all emotional support animals. Well, this was just going to clarify in law that we're following the federal definition of service animals. Again, which is not only an animal to help someone with a disability, but an animal that is trained to help someone with a disability. The law didn't end up passing. A lot of laws die on the calendar at the end of the session, but I'm not sure there was opposition. There may not just have been enough time. So that's a review of some of the bills that passed and a review of the budget. Again, the budget is pretty stable for our agency, so that's always good. So I'd be happy to take any questions. If there are any.
For all your commitment and dedication to this council.
anything, Mike?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Don. I appreciate the kind words, and it's been an honor and a pleasure working with all of you guys doing this important work, and I wish you the best of luck as our chair and the rest of the SRC as well. Keep up the great work that you've been doing. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Any other comments for Mike?
Thank you, Mike, for all you've done. It's been, I think, 6 years on the SRC, 2 full terms, and just want to thank you, and also thank you for stepping up into the role of chair when we had that transition period. So thank you. Best of luck to you.
Sure. Thanks, Brian.
Anyone else?
Hi, Sue. This is Lucretia. Hi, Mike. Just want to say thank you for all the work you have done. And like Brian has said, stepping in when we needed you to help run the meetings when we didn't have a chair at that time. You did a great job. Wishing you all the best. And thank you again for what you did for SRC.
Yeah, thank you, Lucretia. I appreciate that.
Best of luck, Mike. It's Kendra. Thank you.
Thanks, Kendra. You too.
Okay. Well, again, Mike, thank you very, very much for all you've done for this council and on behalf of people with disabilities. I'd also like to take this time to acknowledge that one sentence Brian included in his report, that he's retiring, and Brian, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss your leadership, your kindness, and your dedication and commitment. I would like to leave the floor open to anybody who would like to say something to Brian now.
Brian, this is Deb Reed. I just want to thank you so much for how available you make yourself. I appreciate all the guidance you've given me as a new member to this council, and I really appreciate your kindness.
Thank you.
Hi, Brian. This is Lucretia. And first of all, I'm going to say, no! I don't want to hear that! But Brian, you know what is best for you. And I do want you to know that we wish all the best to you. You definitely will be missed. You have done so much for BESBE, the organization, SRC, and just my period and working with you, your leadership and your guidance. I'm so thankful for what I've learned. Please stay in touch with us. You can leave, but don't disconnect the cord. Thank you. Thank you for all you've done, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you, Lucretia. I guess the one piece I didn't put in, which is going to make it hard to honor that commitment, most of you may not be aware, but some of you do know that I have a son who's very, very significantly disabled, and it's been a lot to try to give my full energy and attention to two very, very intense worlds, and I needed to make a decision for my family that I felt it was only right to finish out the federal fiscal year, which ends September 30. But from literally from October 1st on, my family needs me. I think they've needed me a lot for a while, where I've tried to manage these two worlds. But I really do need to focus my energies on my family situation. So while it will be a sad farewell, it nonetheless is going to just need to be a farewell. But I thank you for the kind words. It's very appreciated.
You're very welcome, and we are here for you, and we do thank you for the sacrifices that you made. It is now family time.
Thank you.
Hi, Brian. It's Gary.
Gary.
It's been a pleasure knowing you. You know, I've known you for a very long time.
Yes.
And I wish best in retirement. You know, you have a few more months left, so.
That's right.
You in September, but it was a pleasure knowing you, and I thought you were, were a great manager for a great, great at your job, and you've got a lot done. And, that's about it.
Thank you.
Hey Brian, this is Mike. I just want to wish you the very best of luck and say congratulations in your retirement. I think in all the years that I've worked with Besby, I think I've only worked with a Besby that's been led by you. And you've been a terrific leader and terrific advocate for folks with blindness. And, you know, we're going to sorely miss you over at DOL. So thanks again for all you've done.
Thanks. I appreciate it. It's like I said, it's a very hard decision, but I know for my family it's the right one. But thank you.
Well, Brian, we greatly respect your decision and respect you so much. Going to be a big hole in the evening. I hope whoever fills your shoes is somewhat like you, too, as other people have said. Okay, well, does anyone else have anything to say to Brian? Okay. I also want to thank, again, everyone at Besby and everyone on this council for your dedication and commitment. I don't think people get thanked enough, and I just wanted to acknowledge everyone here and everybody on the outside that's doing things for people with disabilities and blindness. So I think that that's it for today. I'd like to have a motion to adjourn.
Don, this is Mike. I'll motion to adjourn.
Okay.
I second.
That's Gary Allen.
Sir, who seconded?
Gary Allen.
Gary seconded. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor to adjourn, say aye.
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 Have any nays? Okay. I guess we can leave this Zoom room now. Thank you. Take care. Our next meeting will be September 22nd.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.
Have a great summer.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, y'all.
I got him.